York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, indeed. And welcome. Hi, how are you? Happy. Isn't it great? It's Monday. Yes, the 15th day of October, year of our Lord 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. Glad to be back to work again. And I know a whole 2 days twiddling your thumbs, but we've got a lot to talk about today. And what surprises me is our top story, which is Jamal Khashoggi. And that's all I got to say. Nobody knew who Jamal Khashoggi was from, you know, whatever. I mean, it was just, you wonder. We were just talking about the fact that we are surprised that this story has become as big as it is because of the fact that there are rogue leaders of various nations around the world, and they kill their dissidents. They just do. And they always seem to get away with it. Everybody says tisk, 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 but nobody does anything. So if you are the ruler of some country and you have somebody that doesn't like you, you just kill them. You just get rid of them. And so, I mean, not that any of this is right. It's wrong. Of course it's wrong. It's morally wrong. It's ethically wrong. But at the same time, this is a story where when we last left on Friday, I was doing what I think a lot of people were not doing, which is, you know, I guess the Saudi, prince may have had this guy killed. But wait a minute, who is it that's telling us that this guy was killed in the Saudi embassy? Well, it was the Turks. Oh, that's right. We can count on them for the truth. I mean, we have a really bad relationship with Turkey. And they released the minister, and the president was talking this morning in the driveway of the White House and said, well, we had a really bad relationship, and now we have a really good relationship because of the fact that released the minister. But we don't get along with them very well. We really, really don't. And so here we are with trying to figure out. I don't know where you think this story's going, but they've got this big Davos in the Desert conference coming up week after next. And there's a bunch of big deals that are bailing on that thing. I mean, one big U.S. executive after another. Steve Schwarzman from BlackRock, I'm not going. Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan, I'm not going. And you go down the list of all the people that are not going. And the media sponsors, I think, are a little bit phony because they're saying, we're not going, but we're going to go cover it. Yeah, we're not going to send our executive. We're going to cover it as a news. So I don't know what you make of this thing. You got two unreliable voices telling us it's the other guys who did it. And I don't know who to believe. So this morning, like I said, President ready to get on Marine One outside the White House, and he said he just got off the phone with the king, and the king denies being involved in Khashoggi's disappearance.
I just spoke with the King of Saudi Arabia, who denies any knowledge of what took place with regard to, as he said, his Saudi Arabian citizen. I've asked, and he firmly denied that. I've asked Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to immediately get on a plane, go to Saudi Arabia, go to other places if necessary, which he probably will. But with regard to this, go to Turkey if necessary. The king told me that Turkey and Saudi Arabia are working hand in hand very closely on getting to the bottom of what happened. So we'll see what happens. But Mike Pompeo is leaving literally within an hour or so. He's heading to Saudi Arabia. We are going to leave nothing uncovered. With that being said, the king firmly denied any knowledge of it. He didn't really know. Maybe, I don't want to get into his mind, but it sounded to me like maybe these could have been rogue killers. Who knows? We're going to try getting to the bottom of it very soon. But his was a flat denial.
Flat denial, absolutely. So deny, deny, deny. And hey, what about those rogue killers? Who are they? So this is, I don't mean to make light of this, but you know what this is. This is a real whodunit. This is a good old mystery. This is a mystery novel. You got somebody that disappeared. We have them on video. And the other stuff, the Turks came out and said, well, what he did was Khashoggi used his Apple Watch and kept the microphone on the Apple Watch, and his fiance was out in the car out in front of the embassy and recorded the whole thing. That's what Turkey came up with. So why did they come up with that story when just about every tech person out there said the chances of that happening are slim to none? I don't even know how you do that. I have no idea how you do that. If you're a tech person and you know how to record something from your Apple Watch onto your phone, is it possible? So the tech people over the weekend, after hearing that story from Turkey, said, that doesn't make any sense. So it's a whodunit, but the problem is that the reaction has been, well, but we got a $100 billion deal on the line. This was on Saturday. The president said he does not want to hurt American jobs.
Well, there are many other things we could do, but when we take away $110 billion of purchases from our country, that hurts our workers. That hurts our factories. That hurts all of our companies. You know, you're talking about 500,000 jobs. So we do that, we're really hurting our country a lot more than we're hurting Saudi Arabia. They'll go to Russia. They'll go to China. They'll make the order. The equipment is nowhere near as good as our equipment. They know that. Our equipment is the best in the world. But they'll go to China. They'll go to Russia. They'll order equipment. We're just hurting ourselves. So we would do something that doesn't have to do with that, in my opinion. But we don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows right now the answer. We're looking for the answer.
Yeah, we're looking for the answer. So the Saudis come back and they say, oh, you want to mess with us, do you? Huh, big boy? Well, guess what? If you put sanctions on us, guess what we're going to do? And there was all this big bravado talk about, we're going to bring the American economy to its knees. We're going to drive oil prices up to $100 a barrel, $200 a barrel, maybe more. It was like two guys outside a bar getting ready to get into a fight. And I don't know what you want to do here. So the president also has gotten tougher sounding over the weekend, to the point where people, the stock market in Saudi Arabia over the weekend took a pretty good dive, and otherwise everything seems to be somewhat in order. But it really, talking about severe punishment and the fact that he mentioned it two or three times about the fact that this was on 60 Minutes last night. The president said there will be consequences for whoever is responsible.
There's a lot at stake, and maybe especially so because this man was a reporter. There's something, you'll be surprised to hear me say that, there's something really terrible and disgusting about that, if that were the case. So we're going to have to see. We're going to get to the bottom of it, and there will be severe punishment.
Severe punishment. He kept using that word. So now, if he says there's going to be severe punishment, and he doesn't do severe punishment, then he's looking like Obama talking about the red line of, there's going to be consequences, Syria, and then nothing happened. So I don't know where you think this story is going. I think it's seemingly normal to think, well, the Saudis got him when he was in the embassy because he went in and he didn't come out. And then there's the 15 guys who landed in two private planes and took off. But, I mean, the information about bone saws and about bringing his body out in 15 pieces, this is all rumor, rumor, rumor. But, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, has the media jumped on this with both feet. It's been pretty amazing, actually, to see. So, Doug Ollivant, former National Security Council member, says both Turkey and Saudi Arabia might want to put this to bed quickly.
I think we're going to have a case of implausible deniability here. Mm. You know, but it's going to be in so many people's interest to bring this story together. No one wants a disruption with Saudi relations. The Turks may be able to get something out of it. They're the only ones who probably have the video and the audio of Mr. Khashoggi's death, which, of course, they obtained illegally because you're not really supposed to bug other people's consulates. So it may be in everyone's interest to just make this go away, even though, as your colleague pointed out, the holes in this story are rather large.
Yeah, they are. But he brings up, Doug Ollivant brought up a very interesting point. How did the Turks have video and audio of something going on deep within the Saudi embassy in Istanbul? Because that's supposed to be sovereign territory, and it highly, highly illegal for you to have a bug video an audio bug in a foreign country's embassy in your land. So that's why I go, I'm still being super cautious. I don't know if the Turks would love for our relationship with Saudi Arabia to be in bad, bad, bad straits. So everybody had, there's motive. I mean, I don't know, when you investigate something like this, there's a lot of motive on Turkey to make this story up. I don't know what the motive is of the prince to kill this guy. I mean, who's this Khashoggi guy? What do you make of this thing? What's your mystery novel conclusion? 855-295-6600, and should we get involved? We'll be right back.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call him like I see him.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
So it's a real mystery novel, and nobody knows. There are so many different angles, and who has a motive? Who wants this guy dead? That's a real question that the Wall Street Journal is asking today: is why would you kill this Khashoggi guy? I mean, why? What is it about him? He's been on the staff of the Saudi royal family for many, many, many years. Until recently, he became a critic of the prince. So the primary villain is the prince. They call him MBS, Mohammed bin Salman. And he's cracking down on all kinds of things regarding rules in Saudi Arabia. So you've got all these reforms going on, then you got this guy, and then you got other leaders around the world that kill their citizens, and nobody seems to blink about it. The other story that the Wall Street Journal is talking about is that the prince believes Khashoggi was a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that Khashoggi was sympathetic to Islamic organizations, that he was on the payroll of Qatar, which is a Saudi nemesis. So these are all excuses, but... And then you got Turkey, who would love to see our relationship with Saudi Arabia go into the tank. They have a bad enough relationship with us, Turkey does, and they're watching the relationship between the U.S. and the Saudis growing. They don't want that. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Jerry in Milwaukee. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Tom. In all likelihood, Saudi Arabia murdered this guy. Saudi Arabia has an atrocious human rights record. They make arguably the worst.
And Turkey doesn't?
And Turkey's bad, too. And Turkey is just almost just as bad. But this guy went into the consulate, never came out. I would like to hear the recordings. But Saudi Arabia, I mean, you take the word of Saudi Arabia. I mean, I hope Donald Trump is really saying he's really going to do something, because he took the word of one dictator in Russia. To take the word of Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia's even worse human rights record.
Well, or do you take the word? That's the problem. Who do you take the word of? Turkey? Who says, oh, yes, we have audio, we have video, but we're not going to give it to you. And how did they get it?
Right. Well. Okay. Obviously, nations spy on each other, or they have videotape outside the consulates. That's a common practice. I mean, you might say it's not legal or not, but that happens, and we probably do that to some extent of other countries throughout history.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right.
So I just look at this and I go, we got two bad guys that are pointing the finger at each other with all kinds of motivations for us to blame the other guy. I don't know what to believe. Now, here's what's interesting is that the pressure, the economic pressure, we start talking about we're going to have severe punishment. The president said severe three times over the weekend, which caught a lot of people off guard. In fact, even let me play this for you. This is Adam Kinzinger was talking first, but where's the one, I think it's cut 14, Andy, is Congressman Jim Hines, Democrat from Connecticut, says we need to be the world leader in ethical behavior.
I would have used different words than the president used. This is not us really punishing somebody. We're not an international court. We're not some kind of global parent. What we are, or at least should aspire to be, is to be out front in leading on basic values and ethics, like you don't kill journalists anywhere, much less in a foreign country. So yeah. I would hope that we would sort of frame this as we are standing up against a behavior that we saw Putin engineer in London with an attempted murder of a dissident there, and what we may have been seeing in Istanbul. So we are going to need to get to the bottom of this. I suspect our intelligence community has a pretty good sense for what really happened. And then the sanctions should be severe.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they'll get to the bottom of this. I don't know. You have hope for that, Jerry? You think our people will find out?
Well, if we can prove beyond any reasonable doubt that Saudi Arabia is responsible for the murder of this journalist, I hope we do more than just do a slap on the wrist, because human rights and freedom of the press are fundamental rights. And it is true, we haven't had a president over the last 2 years who's cared much about that issue.
Sounds like he's talking tough. Even what Congressman Heim said was, I actually thank the president.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
So we're CNN is, I'll share this with you, but I worry because they say sources, but they won't name who the sources are, will say that Khashoggi was supposed to be abducted from Turkey, that the Saudi rogue elements of Saudi intelligence went there to interrogate him or to capture him and bring him back for interrogation to Saudi Arabia, and that things went horribly wrong. And I, you know, you go, okay, so oopsies. We chopped him up into 15 pieces, but other than that, Sierra Spartan says Khashoggi's a Saudi citizen killed by either Saudi or Turk governments. This has nothing to do with us. The only reason this is a story because he happened to work for the Washington Post. If he wasn't a Post writer, nobody in the Acela corridor would care. Jay says, so there is one theory that he did not want to get married, so he skipped town with the help from the embassy. Kevin Beauregard, media only cares because Trump doesn't want to mess up our relations with Saudi Arabia over this guy. This is between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. We need to stay out of it. Irony the clown says this isn't any mystery. Saudi government was responsible, and the Trump admin knew it. How do you know that, irony? And Jackie says the mere fact that the media has jumped on this with both feet should make us all wary of the story being pushed. Good point. So Pompeo's on his way. You don't send your Secretary of State off for these for something small. I mean, this is a big deal. Admiral John Kirby says somebody in the Saudi royal family likely knew about this.
I hope that's why he's sending Mike Pompeo over there, to get to the ground truth and to get the facts and to get the Saudis to fully cooperate and tell us what they know. Look, I don't know about King Salman and what he knew and didn't know. I mean, I think it's conceivable that he probably didn't know what was going on at the consulate in Istanbul. I can reckon myself with that. That said, it's highly unlikely, I think, that something like this could happen, certainly if it was premeditated, and nobody in the royal family would have any knowledge of it. It's just not the way their government works.
Well, Susan Glazer from The New Yorker was asked why this story is relevant in America's political sphere.
This is a story, I think, that really has captured the attention of Washington and many capitals around the world, because it seems to so directly implicate not just this horrific question of this Saudi dissident journalist who's in self-imposed exile here in the United States, writing a column for the Washington Post. He's broken with the leadership of Saudi Arabia, and it appears to be a very personal feud with the young crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman. But that's also why it's a Washington story. President Trump, and in particular his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, have made the relationship extremely personal with Saudi Arabia. They've doubled down on America's traditional alliance with the Saudis. Jared Kushner has forged a personal relationship with MBS, as he's known, overriding concerns of many here that, in fact, he was not so much a liberal reformer as someone consolidating power and cracking down on dissidents. So you see this case kind of bringing all those concerns together. And there's a real question, of course, of the judgment of the Trump administration and also the politics.
Yeah, well, she's from The New Yorker, so what would you expect? Jonah Goldberg from National Review says the president has no good option here.
You know, when he says, I don't want to jeopardize this $110 billion in orders, I wish someone would ask him, okay, so how many journalists does Saudi Arabia get to kill before it might jeopardize it, right? I mean, this is a problem with the rhetoric, and it's also a problem with the relationship. It makes a lot of sense to me, or at least it's perfectly defensible, to have a better relationship with Saudi Arabia, to work this out as a counterweight to Iran. All of those things are fine or at least defensible. But it has to be, when you get into this situation, it is clear that no one communicated to Saudi Arabia that if we're going to go down this path, you cannot embarrass us or put us in a situation like this. And so now we're at this stage where there are no really very good options. The White House is in a bind on this, and it's because they went down this cul-de-sac to begin with without a proper line of communication. Someone led the Saudi Arabian government to believe that they could get away with this, that this wouldn't be a problem, and that's why it's a mess now.
And that's what they probably, not only Saudi Arabia, but many leaders around the world think there is no problem in killing somebody that is a dissident in their country. No problem. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Scott, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Well, Tom, it sounds like the typical setup to me.
Yeah.
So it's like your wife drops off the kids, your ex-wife, right? And she's murdered in your backyard. You go, I don't know how it happened. Hello. So this guy goes in the embassy. It makes absolutely no sense at all. It's a setup. And if you want to look at who caused the problem, look at who benefits. Who benefits if we don't do the arms deal? Who benefits if we don't do the oil with Saudi Arabia? That's who did it.
Well, we all have seen the video of him going in. But whoever gave us that video also controlled the copy of that video. And do they have a video of him coming out that they just won't show anybody? Yeah. I mean, it's,
you know, they say they have a video and recordings inside, but have we heard or seen those? No.
No, and tech experts say that this excuse that it's coming off of his Apple Watch was recording. Tech people say you can't. No, that's not. That is next to impossible.
Well, why would Saudi Arabia kill this guy in the embassy? Makes no sense. You kill him somewhere else. Kill him walking.
Well,
down the street.
CNN says they were going to grab him and bring him back and interrogate him over something. And when
CNN is, right?
I know. CNN says, well, there's wink, wink, sources say.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, again, we don't have anybody on record with proof of anything. We don't even know if
you're
this guy's dead.
You're an ex-police officer, Tom. What do you think? Do you have an opinion?
I like your point is who stood to benefit from this? Who
right.
stood
That's
to benefit?
I see.
That, I mean, yep. that is...
And there, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It brings up also your question. The Wall Street Journal's asking a question. Why would you kill this guy? He's like nothing.
Right.
He's not a power player. He's a guy who's actually been working for the Saudi government for a long, long time.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I see, I see a setup. I mean, I just see a setup, and you need to look at who benefits from the loss of a defense contract, or maybe we don't get oil from Saudi Arabia anymore, or who knows what'll happen. And it makes no sense to me.
Well, and Jonah Goldberg was bringing up the counterweight to Iran, and Iran's trying to take over the Middle East, and Saudis are standing in the way, and they're going to get a bunch of new military equipment from us, so let's figure out a way to stop that. I mean, there's a lot of players in that part of the world who want to bring down Saudi Arabia and to make their relationship with the United States to be bad, not good. So it's almost like the movie where everybody figures out 10 minutes into the movie that the butler did it because it's so obvious, and it always turns out where the butler did not do it. I don't have a clue, but my guess is along your lines that who is it that has to benefit from this? It could have been a screw up on the part of the Saudis, but it seems much more that this is a good way to put a wedge between the United States and Saudi Arabia. I don't know, Scott. A very good question, very good call. Phone number is 855-295-6600.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
By the way, the markets are doing next to nothing today, but there is Exchange Traded Fund, an ETF, that trades Saudi Arabia, and it lost a little more than just 1%. It's not a big deal. After CNN is reporting that Saudi officials will admit that Khashoggi died in an interrogation gone wrong. We haven't seen that yet, but that's what CNN says. They have sources that say that. Then John Carlton says maybe Turkey released the pastor to make us think that they are the good guys. That was a question that was asked of the president in the driveway of the White House this morning.
The timing is a strict coincidence. It really is. It's sort of, I've heard a couple of people say, well, that's pretty tricky. Could there be anything to it? No. Actually, Phil, no. It's a total coincidence.
Total coincidence. All right. So Elise Labatt, who is a CNN global affairs correspondent, says, yeah, I agree with the president. It's a coincidence.
I think it's a coincidence. I mean, look, this is all coming forward at the same time. The U.S. has been negotiating with the Turks for some time. They thought that this was going to happen a few weeks ago. The timing might have kind of coincided at the same time, and maybe Erdogan kind of pushed it through to get the deal done. But this deal has been in the works for some time.
Been in the work for some time. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Republican from Illinois, says we have to be careful about jumping to conclusions.
Well, you know, in some of the way the president speaks sometimes, I wouldn't say exactly like he does. But I think the president has to. Look, you have some people that are like leaping to this conclusion of we need to just basically excommunicate Saudi Arabia from the entire world. We need to be cautious about this. This is an egregious thing that happened. And it looks like all the evidence is pointing to, in fact, that he was tortured and dismembered to death. And that's an awful, awful thing. But we also have to understand that in the world of international relations, caution but firmness is important. Mm-hmm. And I think the president today saying things like, you know, this will be severe, I think we have to take him at his word. There's a lot of people that kind of jump to the conclusion of blaming President Trump somehow for what's going on. Look, this was the Saudis in Turkey. So we are a side partner to what's going on. And so we'll figure out what the appropriate response is at the right time.
And everybody gets on their moral high horse, which I understand. But we do business with China, Russia. We do business with all kinds of countries and leaders that kill their citizens. Now, I don't know where those outrages, why haven't they been loud and demanding that we stop doing business with them? I don't know what the answer is. I don't have the answer. This is, as Jonah Goldberg said, the White House is in a bind because you have to do something to say that is wrong. We won't stand for that. But you also, regardless of the $100 billion deal, and the president says 500,000 jobs here in the U.S. that would be hurt, it's more about the fact that they are the balance in the Middle East against Iran. So there's a lot at play here that you want to be, you don't want to be a knee-jerk reactor to Saudi Arabia or Turkey. We don't know what the answer is. If the Saudis come out and like CNN is saying, and say, yeah, we really were just trying to abduct him and bring him back to Saudi Arabia to interrogate him. Countries do that all the time, including us. Yep. Ever heard of Gitmo? 855-295-6600. Jay in California. Hello, Jay.
Tom, thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener. I've talked to you a couple of times. I'm ex-military, and like you said, this happens around the world every single day, and it might be a little bit difficult for sensitive ears in the United States to hear that. But having deployed to that part of the world, and having deployed to other parts of the world in my 10 years in, I saw quite a number of things. The one thing that strikes me here is that, you know, let's follow the thread, and it's a really thin thread, but it's back to the administration, and I'll explain a little bit. We've got our neighbors to the south here in Mexico, and a lot of conversation over the wall and a lot of fun being poked at the president. But do you know how many thousands of people have been killed, media people have been killed in Mexico in the last two presidential administrations that the Mexican government has had?
I have no idea.
They're in the thousands. They're in the thousands. And yet there seems to be zero outrage, including from my home state here in California, from the Latino legislative leaders, congressional leaders. We have so many Latinos in Congress now. And there's zero outrage. Why? I think it's this. There is a hairline connection, like you said earlier, to one of your earlier callers, to the administration. And so let's go back to Kavanaugh. I'll just be really brief on Kavanaugh. They tried to make that stick on the president. It didn't work. It failed. Kavanaugh was confirmed. Good for the Senate. And now this is the next page. We turned the page. We quickly forgot about Kavanaugh because they couldn't make anything stick. And so the next thing that might stick is a possible relationship, however fleeting, to the administration. And so we're going to hammer that for the next 3 or 4 days until we find the next thing that might stick a little bit better to the president. I think that's all this is. Nothing more.
Well,
because we see this around the world every day.
It's not right. I mean, I think we can all agree our values, our morals, our ethics, look at this and go, you can't do this. You can't kill. It doesn't matter what the occupation is. You can't kill people that are just their crime is that they don't like you. But that's because we're used to the freedom in our country to stand up and say we don't like our leaders. But I'm looking at an NPR story that says there were 42 journalists killed worldwide last year in retaliation for their work. Where were the 42 outrages about this? Why is this guy the number one story when there's 42 other reporters who have been killed just last year?
Because the other 42 had no connection to the administration or to his to the president's family. That's why. Zero.
There's also,
if you can find
it, just seems to me, I go back to the caller who was talking to Scott, who talked about the fact who benefits from us getting into a some sort of contest with the Saudis.
It's not about the Saudis. I think it's about an election. That's all it is. I think it's. Sometimes we have to just look at the simplest common denominator. We don't have to overcomplicate it, because if you wanted to look at economics, my goodness, look at the trade that we have with Latin America and Mexico in particular.
Yeah, but they killed journalists, but we just signed a new trade agreement with them. Good point, Jay. Thank you for your service to our country as well. We're going to take a short break and come back. We'll all talk about how much heritage we have.